corporate America. All the churches want to be like Chick-fil-A so that the people are lined up at their drive-thrus. They do. That's the new model for the churches today, is to be like Chick-fil-A. But I won't go there today. But what we're doing this morning is we're honoring and recognizing and remembering Ryland Harper today. 2 years ago, Ryland was three, and 2 years ago, she changed residency. I've tried to be real sensitive to the Holy Spirit on how I word things. She wasn't taken from us, and she didn't die. She changed residency. Because I believe Jacob and Stephanie, I know within every fiber of me that Ryland's just as alive as we are today, even perhaps even more so. She just changed residency. She didn't even change citizenship, because we're all citizens of heaven. I'm just here colonizing earth right now. That's what I'm doing. We're all citizens of heaven, and right now she's a citizen of heaven. That's her residency right now. And so we want to come in and we want to we just want to remember her, and that's what the flowers are for. We leave legacies no matter how old we are. And we run a race no matter how old we are. And Ryland's time here was brief, but eternity is a long, 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 immeasurable time. And she's seeing things through heaven's lens right now, just like my dad is. I believe she was with us last Sunday. I felt her presence very strong last Sunday. Wasn't last Sunday Mother's Day? Yeah, Mother's Day. And it was raining, and I'm just like, oh, man. I mean, it just felt right. I mean, it did. It felt right. And, Errol texted me a long time before church, and she said, it's raining today. And she was in reference to Ryland. And I'm honored that we get to walk this walk out with you guys. I'm glad that God put our lives together. And I'm just so, so thankful for that. You know, we go through this thing of life, and everyone, as we talked about early this morning, we've got so much different places in life of stuff that's going on today. You've got seniors that are graduating. You've got, Casey's about to go and leave. I know she's pumped about doing a month-long internship in Honduras and, with David and Mountaintop Ministries, and that's going to be tremendous. She's about to embark on that. You know, you've got Scott, two family members they're dealing with cancer right now. And so we're all in these different places and different seasons and different parts of this journey. But I'm glad God put us on this journey together, guys. And today, man, we want to recognize and remember Ryland and just want to honor her and honor what she means to us, not meant to, what she means to us. And, and her presence in heaven with the Lord right now. I'm about to be in Hebrews, and it says, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I think she's one of those witnesses. I think the witnesses are past, present, and future. And really, you get on God's dimension, and there's no separation of past, present, and future. It's, you look at Melchizedek, and he's without beginning and without end. And so when God sets things in motion and speaks things into existence, there's no stopping those things. So today we just want to honor her. Y'all turn in your Bibles. Oh, the pink Starburst, that was her favorite candy. That was her favorite candy. And that's why we do that. And that's, very significant every time I see a pink Starburst. If my grandkids are eating them, I always think about Ryland every time I see a pink Starburst. So, y'all turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 12. I'm going to share a few things. I'm going to tie this in and just everything that we've got going on. Hebrews 12, verse 1. I'm going to read just the first two verses. Hebrews 12, verse 1. The word says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, and here's the seven words that I want to focus on, the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. I love the definition of that. Despising is disesteeming. Disesteeming the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That word patience, the Greek word for patience, means hopeful endurance. So let us, with hopeful endurance, let us run this race that is set before us. I'm not really a racing fan, but this time of year, horse racing, but this time of year, I kind of have a little bit of a casual interest. A few weeks ago, the first Saturday in May is always the running of the Kentucky Derby. And they've been doing it for, Lord, forever and ever, and it's quite an event. This year, the running of the Kentucky Derby was quite controversial. They had like 13 horses in the field, and one of the horses got out of his lane. And he bumped some of the other horses, and kind of nobody failed, but it kind of messed everything up. And so he wound up getting disqualified, and everybody that got affected by the race got bumped up, moved up one slot, and all of this stuff. And this week was the Preakness. And so the Preakness was run, and the guy that won, or the horse that run the Preakness, the trainer said, "I'm just glad we got to run a clean race to give my horse a good chance to win." Well, the reality is, guys, typically we don't get to run a clean race. Our life is not a life that's a clean race. It's not a life that was out, that is without constant change, constant challenges, constant adversity. You know, because the truth is, the world's going to bump us out of our lane. And it's going to cause us to stumble. It's going to cause us to veer off our course. It's going to cause us to do something that's not necessarily the path of least resistance, and we have to go a longer route. It knocks us off stride. And the key to how we succeed in life and finish this race is how we handle the constant changing of the race. We come in and we look at the race of life, and we consider it a marathon. We say, man, it's just a marathon race and all of that. But it's really, in a sense, it is a marathon, but it's really not a marathon. Because as a marathon is a thing where we know what the route's going to be, and it's just long. I really think life is more like the Tour de France. Y'all, anybody familiar with cycling any at all? The Tour de France is a 3 week long, little over, I think it's 23 days, bicycling race throughout France. The Tour de France is in 21 different stages. Every day is a different stage. And you're gonna have some stages that go through the flat farmlands, you're gonna have some stages that go through rolling hills, and then you're gonna have some stages that go through very treacherous mountains with the French Alps. And the truth is some guys are really qualified at speed, and man, they can burn it up when they're in the flatlands. But when you get into the mountains, you better have a different gear and be a different breed if you're going to succeed in the mountains. And every day you come in, and it's like, all right, basically, I've got a different race in front of me today. My race today is different than my race yesterday. And I think where we struggle, Randy, is we think this is my path and this is my race. And the reality is no 2 days are exactly alike. And we're going to get bumped out of our lane. Or we're going to, how many of you have been going down the interstate, man, and you're trucking, doing good, running 80 miles an hour, and there's cars on each side of you, and all of a sudden there's a piece of debris in the road, and you don't see it coming because everything's here, and maybe it just appears in your lane, and it's a part of a tractor trailer tire that where they blew it out. And you have one of them old snap moments. And sometimes you can swerve and miss it, and sometimes it gets up under and just makes a loud, and you hope it doesn't bust the fiberglass in your car. And life does that to us. And I'm not trivializing anything, because sometimes it is huge. Sometimes it's the loss of a child. Sometimes it's the loss of a parent. Sometimes it's the news that my brother's got cancer, and then a month later, my great-nephew that's 13 years old, he's got cancer, all in the same family within a span of about 6 weeks. Or God heals me with this, and then all of a sudden I'm in the hospital 4 days later hit with this. And the key and the question for us is how do we do these stages of life? And how do we flourish, not only survive these stages, but flourish in these stages of life? Because I think we come in and we've adopted, because we've been ingrained with a mindset that I'm just enduring this earth until I get to go to heaven. And when we come in and we're enduring something until we get to something, we're going to fail miserably in what we're enduring. A while ago I said that I'm a citizen of heaven, I'm just here to colonize earth. My citizenship is the same as Ryland's citizenship. She's just in heaven right now, and I'm on earth colonizing earth, bringing earth to heaven. That's my assignment. That's my call, if you will. And for me to come in, Grant, and sit here and say, man, I'm just going to try to make it through, and hopefully Jesus will come back quickly and we'll get raptured out of here and all of that. I'm not looking for it. If it happens, great. I've done nothing to disqualify myself. It'll be awesome. But my goal in the meantime, my heart in the meantime, is God, use me to redeem this planet. Redeem this planet. Let's colonize this thing so that it looks just like the mother country. That's our mandate. That's our call. That's what we're doing in Honduras, Marty. We're not Americanizing Honduras. We're kingdomizing Honduras. We don't want Honduras to look like America. We want Honduras to look like heaven. And so I want to take a few minutes, and I want to just talk about this race that is set before us. Because see, I thought years ago when God, me and Lori got married and I got saved and God called us into ministry, I said, okay, this is going to be a marathon thing and this is what it's going to look like and all that. And all of a sudden, every day is different and every stage has changed. And sometimes you're going in the mountain section and it's very difficult, and sometimes circumstances bump you out of your lane, but it's how do I flourish in that moment? How do I walk in such relationship and such proximity with Him that I know exactly what I'm supposed to do in that day, in that hour, in that season? And that's the challenge for us, guys. You know, He tells us, He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So the thing that we have is that He is walking this thing. He's walking this out not only with us, but in us and through us. Jesus came in and He said, if I were the finger of God, have done this miracle, then you know that the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. And so I want to come in with this. I want to read this couple verses again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now He's saying in this, He said, because of the fact that we've got all these witnesses around us, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It is essential because I have witnesses that are all around me that are not only helping me, but their path and their trajectory is dependent on how I run this race. A while ago I said that I believe those witnesses are past, present, and future. I believe that all the saints that have gone before me are witnesses that are watching how I run this race. I believe they are there to encourage. I believe they are there. Jesus said that, told Peter, He said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, Peter. But He said, fear not, because I prayed for you. I've interceded for you. I have come in and I have come into this place to where I will help undergird you through my intercession. And so I believe that Father Abraham, I believe that all of these people, they're that cloud of witnesses. I believe my father is a cloud of witnesses. I've been in the hayfields all week this week and late every day, and I've so felt His presence. When I'm doing farm stuff, I really feel His presence because I'm continuing what He did. Not many people want to do farming anymore. I get that from Him. And so I'm keeping that going, and I hope one of my children or my grandchildren or somebody will come in behind me and keep that legacy going and keep that productivity going. But I felt that presence, Nick. I felt that cloud of witnesses. But I want to tell you something, man. There's this other cloud of witnesses, and that's all of those folks that are around us right now that are running the race with us. They're not just spectators, but perhaps they're running different segments of the race with us. If you look at the teams in Tour de France, usually I want to say there's maybe 10 teams that do, and probably less than that, 5 or 6 teams that do the Tour de France, and they work in unison together. And this person will help set the pace, and this guy's going to keep up with him, and he's a pace setter, and it's going to keep him motivated and keep him going. I bet if we're honest, there are times when our faith is shaken and our faith is struggling somewhat, and we have a hard time leaning on God, but we don't have a hard time leaning on God's people. I bet there are times when you guys are like, God, I'm not feeling it. I love you and I trust you, but right now I need to lean on Ariel. And you say, well, wait a minute, brother. She's still leaning on God. It just looks like Ariel. And that's part of this great cloud of witnesses. And I think it's essential on how I run this race for Ambry's sake and Tyler's sake. It's essential on how I not only, I don't even want to use the word, I know the word uses endure. Because it said that Jesus endured the cross. But man, I want to go through this thing flourishing, even when it's hard. Then I want to go through this thing flourishing. Because I want you guys to see that. And I want to be a pace setter for you. I want to be a pioneer in some, an apostle in some areas. Apostle is simply the first ship that lands out of a fleet of ships. That's what they call it, the apostleship. The apostleship. I don't mean to, that's not a pun. It was the apostleship. And it was the first one that landed out of a fleet that came in. And I want to be that in areas in your guys' life. I want to be that to my children. I want to be that to my grandchildren. Let me go ahead and throw something else out here too. When we're talking about how we run this race, is I believe that there is seed that is, I know there is seed that is within my grandchildren, that they are kids and that seed has not even come forth yet. But it's important how I run this race for future generations, because they're going to hear the story of how Poppy ran the race. Amen. Come on, somebody. You come in and you look at what did they call Jesus? Thou son of David. And how many generations was it? 14 generations, I think. 14 generations, Grant. And yet they call him thou son of David. And we're going to come in, and the way that we run this race, and the way that we come in and we do life, it affects everything around us, but it affects things, it sets things in motions that are to come. And I want us to feel the weight of that, especially today, because here's what we've got. I look around this room today, and here's what we've got, guys. We've got Jacob and Stephanie and their family, and they're dealing with the events of 2 years ago. And so they've got all of this dynamic going on in their life, and they're running the race in that spot. We've got about 4 seniors in the church today. They're all graduating, and they're doing their baccalaureate services today and having graduation parties and all of this stuff. They're at a totally different spot in life. They're running a race that is set before them. Because what is set before them is Hunter's going into the Marines in a few weeks. Some of them are going to technical school. Some of them are going to college, to university. And so what is set before them is totally different. Paul and Robin are about to get married here in a few weeks. They're about to embark on something totally new. What is set before them is a different stage. You guys are about to have a baby here in July. What is set, but the race that is set before you is about to be radically different, radically changed. Radically changed. So that's what's set before you. And I can look on and I can go on and on and on. Scott right now is contending for healing in his family, with 2 of his close family members dealing with cancer right now. So what is set before him is I am coming in and I'm interceding and I'm declaring. And I'm undergirding, and I'm helping financially, I'm helping with time and all of these things. And so the race that is set before you today, Scott, is totally different than the race that was set before you a month ago. You're still the same guy, but the race that is set before you is totally different. Y'all see where I'm going with this? You see where the Word's going with this? And here's what's going to change in that. Adrian, in a few years, what's set before you is going to look totally different than what it is right now. Right now, all of a sudden, I find myself being a grandfather. I find myself being a grandfather. And so the race that is set before me is totally different than it was when our kids were coming through. We're about the same stage in life on stuff. In a lot of areas, we're very similar in life. We're at a stage now where finances are better than they were 20 years ago. We're not rubbing nickels together and all of that stuff and all that. But you know what? That's a different stage that is set before us. Now how do we handle financial blessing? How do we handle prosperity? What do we do with that? How do we release that into this earth? And so it's a different stage that is set before us. Is somebody relating to what I'm saying this morning? Because I've been on all gamuts. I've been on all stages of this. I've been, you know, the Apostle Paul says I've learned how to be abased and I've learned how to abound. I've been in the place that you are, Nick, right today, where you're coming in and you're getting baptized and you're making a declaration to the world that I am walking with God and I want to be identified as a son of the Most High God. I want to be identified as a believer in Christ Jesus. And I've been in that place. You're starting a journey and I'm 30-something years into this journey. But that is the race that is set before you today. And now all of a sudden the whole thing changes because, see, there's a different race set before you guys. You guys are family members, I'm assuming. Grandparents, mom, did I nail it? All right, I got it. I'm just, it's not hard to figure out. Now all of a sudden you've got a young man that says, you know what, I'm a disciple of Christ and I want to follow Jesus. And I want to know God. So there's a different race that's set before you today. Different than it was 2 months ago. You say, well, it's the same. I'm still trying to be that solid example and all that stuff, but the dynamics changed. As a friend, the dynamics changed. I see him with y'all a lot, so the dynamic of the Meacham family's changed. Now it comes into a place of discipleship. And how do we disciple and how do we mentor? And how does he see us walk this thing out? How does he see us walk this thing out? Somebody feeling me this morning? This is huge. Because if you think you can do life like you did life last week, you're wrong. If you think you can do life like you did life last year, you're wrong. Because we come in and we want to set this model of this is how I'm going to do life. And it is constantly changing. Because yesterday was stage 13 and you were going through the rolling cornfields. Today's stage 18 and you're in the mountains and you better have climbing gear going on. You better be able to lock it in and you better be able to burn those quads up because you've got to gain some altitude. And if you fail in this stage, you might not finish the race. That's what I want you to get, is it's not a thing of surviving every stage, it's a thing of flourishing every stage. And the Apostle Paul comes in and he says, I run a race. He said, we all run a race. We run it to obtain a prize. And in this, he says, but in a regular race, there's only one winner in this. I have to win at the race that is set before what? Me. I'm not competing against Tyler because we're running a different race, but we're running the same race. You see what I'm saying on that? A little play on words? We're running the same race, but we're running a different race. We're running the same race, but we're in different stages. I'm 25 years past you, brother. Were you 30, 31, 28? Man, you're not 30 yet. You're Errol's age, not Aaliyah's. Sorry about that. Wrong brother. Y'all aren't 30 yet. So I'm 30 years behind you. We're running the same race, but we're running a different race. We're still running the race that's set before us. What you have to do is you have to say, what does my stage tomorrow look like when you get up? And you're going to get up and you're going to choose peace and you're going to choose joy and you're going to choose love and you're going to choose to embrace her and to be everything that you can to cover her and bless her. You're going to do the job that's in front of us. That's one thing y'all hear me and James talking about all the time. I believe the key to success in ministry is you just do what's in front of you. And you minister to what's in front of you. Last week we had a full house and it was high energy level and all of that stuff. And this week, man, it's a thin crowd. Because we got this going on, this and this, and people are here, here, and here, and that's okay. Next Thursday night, I'll be in Microsoft Theater with 7,000 people from about 30 or 40 different countries, and we're going to be worshiping our brains out for 3 full days. But yet, it's not any different than what I was doing down here this morning. It's still just me and Him. So you come in with the race that is in front of you for that stage today. You say, how do I flourish in this? How do I redeem this? Yesterday it looked like being in the hayfield all day. And then coming home and trying to halfway minister and love on my wife. You say, like, what do you want for supper? I said, nothing. I'll make a sandwich and go to bed. But that's what it looked like. And we get this idea this is the way that life's gonna be. And always somebody else's horse bumps us out of our lane. And we got to get our stride back. We got to get our stride back. You say, well, you never get it all the way back. You develop a different stride. Jacob walked with a limp. You guys are never going to get your stride back that you had before Ryland went to heaven. But you'll get a different stride. You'll get a different stride. And that different stride, I love a gated horse. I love to ride a gated horse. Because a good gated horse, man, they've got about 4 different gates. And you get in a certain gate and it's like, man, you could put a cup of tea on their back. And it don't, man, it don't matter because they're in that gate. Your gate will never be the same as it was. Your stride will never be the same that it was. But develop a different stride, and that different stride is a resounding testimony. It's a resounding testimony. Jacob walked with a limp because of an encounter he had with God. It was not a handicap. It marked him, but it was not a handicap. Do y'all know in that race yesterday, I'm going to throw back to horse racing right quick, and I'm not a big horse racing fan, but in the Preakness yesterday, y'all know what happened coming out of the gates? There was like 12 or 13 different horses in that field. Randy does because he watches ESPN about as much as I do, or at least on his phone. And you know what happened? Coming out of the gates, one of the horses threw his rider off. You know what the horse did? He kept running the race without a rider. He ran the whole race and then did an extra lap. I'm serious. Google it when you get home. He beat some other horses that had riders. He did. He passed some horses that had riders. He passed them. Because he said, this is who I am. I'm a thoroughbred racehorse. And I was designed to finish this race. And not only am I good, I was trained to finish this race. I was built to finish this race. I was born to finish this race. The DNA in me, I guarantee you, whoever raised that colt and bred that colt, I guarantee you he did some sire selection so we could get proper DNA. He said, my DNA is to finish this race. And he said, it is so wired up in me that not only will I finish this race, but if I don't have a jockey on my back telling me to quit, I'm going to keep running. Whew. Come on, somebody. That'll preach. That'll preach. People ask me, say, when are you going to retire from, you've been in ministry 30 years, when are you going to retire? I'm just getting started, baby. I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started. When are you going to quit in business? Man, I'm just getting started. I'm fresh in this. It's just now getting fun. When are you going to quit farming? I don't know. If I don't have a child or a grandchild that takes it up, I'll have a great grandchild. I'm just going to keep living until somebody latches on to it. Come on, because that's my DNA. That's your DNA. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the DNA that's in me, and hopefully the DNA that is in you, sorry about that, the DNA that is in you is to release heaven into this earth until this earth starts looking like heaven. Not how can I get out of here as quick as possible. I'm not looking to go anywhere. Heaven will be my home. And I will spend eternity there. But until they cut the lights out, I'm going to keep lapping. I'm going to keep running that race. Somebody finally caught that horse after he did a whole other lap. You know that horse will be famous forever. He will forever be known as the horse that ran the Preakness without a jockey. Always. He will have a legacy. He will have notoriety. I don't know if it'll change his value, but doggone, I'd think about it if I was in that kind of business. I'd be like, maybe I need to get some. I don't even know if it's a mare or a stallion. But I would want some of that DNA. I would want some of that DNA. And I want to tell you something, guys. It's not about how I do in this one little stage right here. It's about what's my legacy going to be on all the stages coming through. Lance Armstrong won it, and you say, well, man, he did blood doping and all of that stuff. The guys that win the Tour de France, they win it because they're good in all stages. They're able to do compete and to do well in all stages. Quit going through life. Here's our problem, and I'm going to close with this, and we're going to have baptism. Quit going through life saying, if I can run a clean race, it'll be okay. I know what that trainer was saying. That it was nice to get to run a clean race. But quit going through life thinking if I can just get a clean race then I'll do well. Because the reality is, you're probably going to get bumped out of a lane. There's probably going to be a blowout that's going to jump right in front of you. Or even worse, you're going to have a blowout. That's the reality of life, guys. That's the reality of life. And the question is how do we run this race that is set before us? And what's set before you today? What's set before you tomorrow? So we get, and I'm not against planning, guys, and we need to do some planning, but we got to learn to be faithful with what's right in front of us. We got to learn to flourish what's in front of us. Because if you don't make it tomorrow, you might not be around next year in a position that God wants you to be in. All right? I'm going to read this one more time. You know what I'm going to do? I'm reading it out of Passion Translation this time. I love, love, love. If you don't have a Passion Translation, get one. Here we are. Passion Translation says, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. I believe that's past, I believe that's present, and I believe that's future. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into face perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation. And now he sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Good, good stuff. Seven words. The race that is set before us. Here's what I want you to do today. Quit looking at everybody else's race and think that they have a better path or an easier path. Say, man, if I had a heritage, if I had generational blessings instead of generational curses, that just means you get to be first. The next horse that runs a race without a rider and finishes and does an extra lap will just be the second one to do it. He will never have the notoriety of the first one. So the beauty of this is you get to run your race that's set before you. And he says he run it with patience. Patience, which is hope. Bill Johnson's definition of hope is the joyful anticipation of goodness, which creates an atmosphere that attracts the promises of God. When we run the race with hope, the joyful anticipation of goodness, which creates an atmosphere that attracts the promises of God. Attracts the promises of God. Your life should be noteworthy. Your life should be this great epic that's noteworthy. And it's not free of trial. It's not free of pain. It's not free of somebody bumping you out of your lane. It's not free of something getting in the way. It's not free of your jockey never falling off. But the question is how do you run this stage that's in front of you today? Quit comparing yourself to my stage, because I got to run my stage. Have y'all ever in track and field, and I promise I'm closing this, have y'all in track and field, have y'all ever seen somebody lose a race in a let's say, 100-meter dash? Have you ever seen anybody lose a race because they looked at the guy they were running out of the corner of their eye? They did a quick glance, and it cost them just a fraction of a second. I've seen it. And we go through life, and you know what we're doing? We're looking at everybody else and seeing how they're doing, and it determines our pace. We see how easy we think their path is, and it determines our pace. It determines our resolve. And I want you to get that today, this is your race. And today, this is your stage. How will you run that? How will you run that? Because you could go through life and you say, man, I've had a tough start. Things stacked up against me in adversity and all of this stuff. India could say the same thing. India could say the exact same thing. And I want you to understand that it doesn't handicap you, but it can equip you. It doesn't have to handicap you. It can equip you. It can equip you. So you run and you say, man, you didn't have, well, you didn't go through that. I didn't. But your legacy can be totally different than mine. So that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. One little portion in Scripture when they were having the supper at Bethany in John chapter 12. And it said who all, it was at Simon the leper's house, and it said who all was there at the dinner. And It said that Lazarus was there. And it said a great number of people came because Lazarus was there. They wanted to see Lazarus. It didn't say that they came because they wanted to see John. It didn't say they came because they wanted to see Peter. It said they came because Lazarus was there. Because he was running the stage that was set before him. And it impacted people in such a way. I know a lot of the past 2 years, and I'll kind of roll back into this. And this is kind of difficult because I don't want to, but y'all know my heart toward y'all. Y'all know my family's heart toward y'all. And it doesn't make it easy, and it doesn't make it, oh, well, that makes everything okay or anything like that. But by the fact that y'all have not stopped running the race, by the fact that you're sitting here or anywhere today with your arm around her, still loving each other, still trying to bless people. And Jacob spent 3 hours with me in Hayfield yesterday afternoon, just happy as a lark because he was driving a tractor helping his friend out. I won't even say his pastor, his friend out. I'm like, man, I owe you big time. He said, man, there's nobody else I'd rather help right now. But the thing is, by the fact that y'all are still doing what you're doing and you're still running the race and you hadn't got bitter and you hadn't quit and you hadn't turned on each other and you hadn't turned on God and all of that, y'all are impacting more people than you'll ever know. Y'all are impacting more people. And I know y'all sit here and y'all think, man, if it wasn't for Errol, or if it wasn't for Tiffany, or if it wasn't for my sister, or if it wasn't for, Michelle and all of these girls that have been so huge in my life. But you know what? You have taught them so much about who they are in Christ because of the fact that you're running the race that's set before you. And you say, man, it feels like enduring. Anytime you're in a mountain stage and you're climbing, you ask anybody that does the Tour de France, and they'll say, man, when I'm doing that climb in the French Alps, my legs are on fire, my quads are burning, and I want to quit. Just making it through that stage is a win. And sometimes just making it through the day with endurance and with patience and with love and with hope, that's a win. And it's not just a win for you. It's a win for people around you. It's a win for people around you. And right now, I don't know if Rylan, I think Rylan's 5 in heaven right now. I do. That's just the way this Holy Spirit just settles things in me. I think Rylan, I don't think she's 30. I think she's 5 right now. And I think in a 5-year-old mind, and she sees y'all walking this out, and she sees Jace growing up, and she sees y'all doing life and doing kingdom life and being with, you know, holding on to your faith. Because she can see clearly, because she's with Yahweh right now, and she's with Jesus right now. But I think in a 5-year-old, you know what I think she's doing? She said, that's what I'm talking about. That's my mom and daddy right there. I do. She said, that's what I'm talking about. And I believe there's part of the cloud of witnesses up there, and they're high-fiving her right now and said, I see your mom and daddy. And when Jace gets saved and he gets baptized one day, I think they're going to all be high-fiving each other up there. She's going to say, that's my little brother right there. So it's all about us running this race, man. It's all about us running this race. Yours is about to look different. You're getting married in 2 weeks. It's about to look totally different. Totally different. But we have to run what is set before us. And you're not running her race, and you're not running my race. You're not running Errol's race. You're running Randy's race, Randy and Tim's race. That's the beauty of it. Man, let's just stand to our feet. Nick, you want to come on up, man, and bring your stuff over here and get ready? Worship team, will y'all bounce up here? Thank you, brother.
Will y'all do that last song that we did, please? I'm sorry I had to cough. One of the grandkids shared a little love with me, I guess, this week, and I've got this cough going on. But I was going to show you guys, when we were in Patagonia, it goes along so well with his sermon today. Sydney was fishing, and I was off doing this long hike, and I was praying. And I always start my prayers with thanksgiving and just thankfulness for everything. And then I started doing what I call prayer of supplication, praying for my grandkids. Like I did my kids, like, you know, where they're going to be, how they're going to grow up and be strong in the Lord and all these different things and praying for different circumstances. And it's rough terrain there, so I'm really watching where I'm going so I don't break an ankle or kill myself, you know. So I'm watching where I'm going, and the Lord says, look up. And I looked up, and it was the fullest rainbow. And it went from one mountain peak all the way over this huge valley over here. It was transparent, and you could see through it. And he said, where does it start? And I said, well, on this side, it looks like it starts on the mountain peak. But on this side, it went all the way down into the valley. And he said, I'm with you always. Whether you're on the mountain peak or you're down in the valley, my promises are yes and amen. He said, you still live on this earth. And we're to bring heaven to earth, but we're still living on an unredeemed earth. And what it says, it rains on the just and the unjust. So we're going to go through all these different ranges that Sydney's talked about today. But I can tell you, his word is yes and amen. He said he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. He'd always be with us, Lisa. Whether we're on the mountaintop, and he said, well, the beauty of it, you can see through the valley. And you can see that you're going to make it through to the mountaintop. You won't always be in that valley. That's not a lifestyle for us. But he said, I'll always be there with you. He's the God of the mountain, and he's the God of the valley. And it's true, yes and amen. Yes and amen. Go ahead, guys.